Our reading this morning is taken from the book of James. You'll find it on page 148 of your pew Bible, and it's in chapter 3. Page 148, James chapter 3. Commencing at the first verse, it's called Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Good to see you all, and if you're a visitor, you'll just let you know that we're into a series in the book of James, and we've reached chapter 3, and I'm sure that you all probably well remember the children's rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, never hurt me." Well, actually, that's not true, because cruel words can leave scars that last far longer than any physical injury. Some people actually probably recover more quickly from a broken leg than they recover from harmful words. And some people, in fact, never recover. And it just reminds us that the words that we speak can be very, very powerful for either good or bad. And I've experienced both, as I guess many of you have. I remember being a seven-year-old little boy, knowing that I was loved. I was very confident and friendly and free. And I remember one morning calling for my best friend, and the back door was ajar. So I was just about to knock, and then I heard someone from inside say, "Steve's really cocky. He thinks everyone likes him." And suddenly, that very confident, free, and impressionable seven-year-old wasn't quite so confident and free. On the other hand, I remember in the days when I was working at British Aerospace, I had no thought whatsoever of becoming a pastor, and out of the blue, someone said to me, "Steve, God wants you to teach the Bible." And those turned out to be amongst those eight words turned out to be amongst the most powerful, life-changing words for good that have ever been spoken to me. And I'm sure all of you can remember words that you wish you'd never heard, and you will remember words that you wish you had never spoken. Often, they're out before we know it. You know, someone pressed the right buttons or the wrong buttons, whichever way you look at it. And it's as if our tongue had a life of its own. And yet the people that we love and the friendships that we cherish, I think, are far too precious to us to expose them to that kind of level of vulnerability and potential harm. The problem is, according to James, that none of us can tame the tongue. It says, no one can tame the tongue. I see James as a bit like a doctor, and he says, look, here's the problem. It's the human tongue. These are the symptoms. It causes immense damage. Here's the bad news. There isn't a cure. However, there is some good news, and it's that we're going to be looking at this morning. But first, we're going to look at two illustrations from James and two illustrations from real life to help us grasp the power of words and how serious this issue is. The first illustration, James says, take ships as an example. Although they're so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants them to go. Then he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Now, in March 1978, the Amoco Cadiz, which was a supertanker, set sail from Saudi Arabia with a cargo of 1.6 million barrels of oil headed for Rotterdam. And 3 miles off the coast of Brittany, it ran into a force 10 storm. And a freak wave hit the ship's rudder and disabled the steering. The ship was only 3 years old. And so this freak wave hit the rudder and completely disabled the steering. Now, the ship had immense power available from its engines still, but with no means of steering, it was completely at the mercy of the elements. And within 12 hours, the Amoco Cadiz had run aground, and within 24 hours, it had broken in two and spilled all of its 220,000 tons of oil into the sea. Within only 1 month, 200 miles of the coastline were contaminated. 76 beaches were ruined. Thousands of seabirds were killed. Tons of oyster beds were destroyed. $250,000 worth of damage was caused to fisheries and tourism because the rudder failed. Now, the Amoco Cadiz had no control over the storm that it ran into or the freak wave that disabled the rudder that resulted in all of that damage. And we have no control over the things that happen to us which trigger a response from us. With the Amoco Cadiz, the poisonous oil was spilled into the environment, and the damage caused was huge and very far-reaching. Once the oil was out there, there was no getting it back. And it's the same with our words. Once they're out there, there's no getting them back. And they can be very toxic, and they can cause very far-reaching damage, you know, to family members who no longer speak to one another, and precious friendships that are tainted forever by unkind words, relationships ruined, and in some cases, reputations destroyed. That is the power of our words. In the second illustration, James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And then he says, the tongue also is a fire. He said, it corrupts the whole person and it sets the course of their whole life on fire. Now, he was 14 years old when he joined the family company, and he was 34 when he became its managing director. He inherited 100 shops, most of them were loss-making, and the share price was just 27 pence. But within 2 years under his leadership, the share price had gone to £4.20 from 27p. Within 6 years, the company owned not 100 shops, but 2,500 shops, making it the largest jewellery business in the world. And then came the speech. He showed a draft of his speech to one of his directors who said it was great, but with a bit of humour, it would be brilliant. And so it was that with a couple of jokes added, he stood to address 5,000 members of the Institute of Directors at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And as he got into his stride, he reached the part where he said, "We do cut glass decanters with 6 glasses on a silver-plated tray for £4.95. People say, how can you sell this for such a low price? And I say, because it's total crap." Excuse the English, that's what he said. Those 5 words wiped £500 million off the value of the company. That's £100 million per word wiped off the value of the company. Within a year, he'd resigned. Within 2 years, the company had had to change its name, and Gerald Ratner became bankrupt and suffered a nervous breakdown. It only takes a one-liner, a single sentence, just like a carelessly discarded cigarette in a forest. But other times, our words are deliberate and they are intended to be incendiary. And people's lives, people's reputations get burned, and sometimes lives are destroyed altogether. And no wonder James says the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. No wonder he says it corrupts, it sets the whole course of our lives on fire. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. We praise our Lord and Father, and we curse people made in God's likeness. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So, okay, if this should not be, but the tongue cannot be tamed, then what are we supposed to do? Well, James gives us a clue. He says salt water and fresh water cannot come from the same source. You see, the tongue doesn't have thoughts of its own. It doesn't have unresolved issues. It doesn't have an attitude. It doesn't harbour grudges, anger, or bitterness. It merely gives expression to what is already inside. In other words, the source of damaging words is not the tongue. It's what we carry inside us. It's what we have in our hearts. And if we harbour bitterness and anger and resentment and jealousy, no matter how well, for the most part, we conceal it, it only takes someone to press the right or the wrong buttons, to pull the wrong trigger, and out it comes. And the tongue is only too willing, it seems, to give expression to what is already going on in our hearts. Not long ago, 2 months ago, I had a telephone conversation with someone I think a great deal of. In fact, it wasn't really a conversation. I just listened to a torrent of damaging words. And the source of the words wasn't the tongue. It was anger. Layer after layer after layer of anger that they'd allowed to build up. And then there came a point when something or someone just pushed the wrong buttons and out it came. So if you're carrying on our anger or bitterness or resentment, I just plead with you to do something about it. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down whilst you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, and slander, along with every form of malice. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. And until we are able to forgive from the heart, then anger and bitterness and resentment will be like a poisonous cargo that we carry round with us until someone presses the right buttons and it gets spilled into the environment where we are, and it causes very far-reaching damage. Jesus was teaching on one occasion and he said this. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart. Evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. And we're not risking a £500 million company when we use ill-chosen words. We're risking something far more precious than that. People. People, their reputations, their happiness, their future, and in extreme cases, their lives can be blighted forever by cruel and damaging words. Human beings are capable of carrying a poisonous cargo and seeping it into the environment through gossip, innuendo, lies, deceit, malicious talk, just seeped into the environment. And just like that 200-mile Brittany coastline, the damage can be very far-reaching, especially now with Facebook and other social networks. Our words travel far and fast like a forest fire. And once the poison has been spilled, there's no getting it back. But the tongue is only a liability if we haven't dealt with things like I've mentioned, like anger and bitterness and resentment. And yet in Christ, that need not be the case. In Christ, we can all find forgiveness as well as the strength to forgive other people. In Christ, we can all find security and a clean heart and a right spirit. Because sometimes some of those critical, undermining, damaging words come out of a heart that is insecure and feels threatened and feels a need to undermine other people. Out of the overflow of a renewed heart, the mouth will speak words that praise God, but also bless and build up other people. There is just one other practical measure that we can take to ensure that no unwholesome talk comes out of our mouths. And I've shared this with you before, but with this I'm going to finish. Before we speak, all of us can learn the discipline of pausing to think. T-H-I-N-K. And before we speak, we can pause to ask ourselves, T, is it true? Is what I'm about to say, do I know for a fact that it's true? Is it just gossip? Secondly, is it helpful? Is what I'm about to share going to be helpful for the person I'm speaking to? Helpful for the person I'm speaking about? I, is it important? N, is it really necessary for me to say this? And then finally, is it kind? And if it isn't any of those things, then it is better for us not to speak.